duty. Allah calls us to this. Let there rise up a group of you. But that's the general. That's addressed to the general people too, to all the people, to the general mass of Muslims. But also a special group is called for out of the general mass of Muslims to be examples of the best type, the highest example for the rest. But understand, don't be mistaken, that Allah asks of all of us that we cooperate by promoting and encouraging and supporting what is of the best standards in the life and history of man and as a civilized society. And that we work against all that threatens to make that life void, empty, of no effect. That's our duty. So don't think that the Muslims are passive people. We are passive only before Allah. We are passive. We are meek and humble and non-aggressive before Allah. But before the evils of the world, we are active. We are to be active and aggressive people. We are to be involved in checking the wrongs of society. We are to be involved in checking corruption in society. And we should start right in our own selves. First thing is to look at self. Then once self is, you can tolerate yourself, then look at those in your immediate circumstances. Even if it's your dog. You've been letting the dog wet in the living room. Get him out of the house. Get him out of the house. Yes, because Muslims are not supposed to have dogs in the house. This is the teachings and the tradition of our prophet. We are not supposed to have dogs in our house. Okay for the dog to be in the yard or watch the yard. Or be on the farm. That's okay. But to make him a member of the family, no. You have changed the Muslim identity. Praise be to Allah. The basis for us uniting is put so brief and it is clear, but we have to understand what that implies. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muslims come together on that. If we say there is but one Allah, that Allah is God alone, and Muhammad is his messenger, that's the basis for our unity. Now we have come together, we're Muslims. But once you say that, and then after saying that, I find that you say la ilaha illallah, but you have corrupted that idea. You have a corrupt idea of what you are saying. Now, I have to bring that to your attention. And if you still say, yeah, brother, no God but Allah had a son, then I'm to bring that to your attention, that you have thrown yourself out of the identity of Muslims by corrupting the concept of God. And brother, if you've done this unintentionally, let me bring you. Let's go back and read the Quran. Let's read. Let's see your fault. Let's hear what the prophet says. Let's see your fault. Let's hear what the learned and best of the Muslims believe in the whole international world for 1,400 years. Let's see your fault. And if you still can't see it, though you say, la ilaha illallah, I say, bull. La ilaha illallah, brother, bull. Get going. Get out of here. That's when I know for sure that you're saying something, but you're not really saying it with the right meaning and right knowledge. So if you don't have the right knowledge, it's my duty to try to bring you the right knowledge. But once you get the right knowledge and you still insist upon having that wrong meaning, we should reject you. We got to reject you. Some of us want unity without conditions. Oh, brother, we need to unite. Yeah, we know. But your base of unity may be too weak for us. We want a strong base of unity. And Allah has provided us the strongest base of unity. That we worship none but one God and don't corrupt the idea. And that we follow his prophet. We believe in God, believe in his prophet. Obey God and obey his prophet. And to obey him, I'm not supposed to sit off on the 7th Hill in Washington Park and wait for a revelation to come down from the tree to me. To obey Allah and his messenger, I'm supposed to go to the Quran and to the life of the prophet. That's where I go to find, to see the light. How people were guided. How the prophet lived it. How he guided people. How people were guided and how people in turn guided others. And read the Quran and see. Yes. As simple as that. So the basis for Muslim uniting is proper recognition of Allah and his messenger. Of Allah and his messenger. Proper regard for the Lord Creator and proper respect and regard for his prophet. That's the condition. But understand what that, again, I must stress, understand what that involves. You have to understand the concept, the meaning of Allah for Muslims. And you have to understand the meaning of Prophet Muhammad and last prophet for Muslims. You have to understand the meaning of that. Then you have to understand that Prophet Muhammad came to demonstrate the life that Allah intends for man in its total picture. And our unity may be broken because somewhere down the line you fail to comply with what is imperative, with what is a must, with what cannot be escaped. In that short, brief declaration, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It's short and brief, but it implies so much. It demands so much. It requires so much. It points to so much. It includes so much. It establishes so much. And if you down the line break with us, out you go. Now, in concluding this, let me tell you this. You cannot stay united with Muslims if you don't accept to treat all people fairly. That's a condition also. Why? Because Allah says you are the best community brought out, evolved for the people. Now, if you're going to go against the people, if you're going to become an enemy of some race or some ethnic group, then we have to bring your attention to the problem you're creating. And once we bring the knowledge from the sources, Quran and the life of our prophet, from the best traditions, and you reject it, then we have to reject you. Reject you because you insist upon hating some races and loving others. So we want to know what the basis for our unity, huh? When we hear the call to prayer 5 times daily, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, what is it saying? That one Allah we've been talking about. He is bigger. Bigger than what? Whatever you got on your mind. What else are we saying? Allahu Akbar. We're saying that God is more important. More important than what? Whatever you got on your mind. Allahu Akbar. Now, if you're going to forget that and start raising some other things up, qualifying some other things to be more important on me as obligation than my recognition of Allah and my duty to Allah, I have to set you straight apart with you. Because that belief in Allah is what saves us from slavery. That belief in Allah saves us from being stupid. It denies would-be masters, us as slaves. Yes. What man can be a slave to any man or anything that truly accepts our concept of Allah? No man. No man that really accepts our concept of God can be a slave to any other creature or any other thing. No. That's the end of slavery. Oh, I said that I was concluding it on that point. Yes. But it's hard to get off of it. Very difficult to leave it go. So let me return to the nature and character of religion. First of all, we are people of faith. First of all, we are people of faith. And right faith will bring about the condition for right conduct. Yes. You want to understand how come some people believe real strongly, but their lives are still corrupt and bad? You want to come to understanding? They are believing strongly, but their faith is wrong faith. So you can believe strongly, doesn't mean that you're believing rightly. But once you believe rightly, in accordance with what Allah, the designer of the creation, the creator and designer, in accordance with what he has established, once you believe that way, your behavior begins to reflect that excellence in you of faith. The excellence in the content of faith is reflected in deeds, in actions. Yes. And we have beautiful behavior because of right faith. Beautiful behavior. Because of right faith. And not weak behavior, strong behavior, because of right faith. Courage. Don't you know there's no people more courageous than the true Muslim? No people can be more courageous than the true Muslim. No people can be more effective in doing good, in fighting enemies than the true Muslim. No people. You might say, what accounts for the state of the world? We have lost the basis for our unity. We have confused and corrupt and played cheap the basis for our unity. We just want to have an association with somebody. So we'll let them come in and identify with us. And yeah, okay, you're a member, brother. And you know good and well, he's full of it. Ignorance, corruption, vulgarity, and whatever you want to call it, he's full of it. But brother, you're a Muslim, brother. Okay, you're a Muslim now, brother. You have to tell him. I've heard him doing this. The brother come in, hey, brother, you a Muslim now. Why you have to tell him? He should be telling you. You're going to tell him he's a Muslim now. And he got reefers in his pocket. He can't wait to get out of there. He want to hear him get out of the meeting to get back with the reefers. And you're going to tell him just because he made two rak'ahs with you, you're a Muslim now, brother. Present the religion straight. And then don't pressure people into declaring themselves. Invite them and wait till they declare themselves. It's okay if you see a sign that the brother wants to, but he needs a little help, needs a little encouragement. It's okay to encourage him. Say, brother, I say, well, you look like you're denying yourself what you really want. Say, sometimes you just have to go on and be strong and do what you have to do. So it's nice, you know, you're supposed to do that. We're supposed to encourage, strengthen each other. We're supposed to do that. But you see a brother, you know good and well he didn't understand that. In fact, you weren't even interested in him. And the only thing you were interested in him doing is saying that he's a Muslim, so you can have four people in your masjid rather than three. Well, we got a new fish today, brother. We got four. We are one community of Muslims. Understand that. We are an international community. There's no such thing as a community of the West like we used to say. Community of the West, community of the West, and community somewhere else. We are one community. Allah says you are one united community. And I am your Lord, one ruler over us. All of us under the same ruler. And our obedience is to Him. Our service, our worship is for Him. That's what we have to understand. We are in an international community. Understand that. Though we meet here today on Jum'ah day and tomorrow and Sunday, inshallah, we'll have even a much bigger affair. We hope, inshallah. Not that it'll be more important, the most important is Jum'ah. But it will be more bigger affair and more people, I'm sure, will be here by then. And we expect to have a wonderful time as Muslims and as decent human beings. But understand also, dear believers, that we, though we're meeting and we see mostly our faces, African-American face, understand that no matter whether we meet and we are solid African-American or mixed, we are always an international community. Always an international community. And the Hajj is the best focus for showing us the beautiful, powerful international community of Muslims spreading all over this globe, encompassing the globe from Europe, to many parts. Yes, they're growing fast in England and different places. And then Asia now, even the Russians are allowed now to be more freer to practice their religion. And we are meeting Russians in the Hajj, Russian delegates from Russia coming to the Hajj, representing the speaking for and telling us about the Muslims in Russia, and coming from Africa, many parts of Africa, Philippines, the islands, and the United States of America, everywhere, Muslims. You know, you look at the Kaaba, and you say, that's a place that's called home. Bayt. You know that's his name? Bayt al-Ula, the first house. It's called Bayt. And you, when you see the beautiful picture of Hajj, the multitudes coming from all corners of the world and from all descriptions, racial descriptions and national descriptions, you see them all coming there, and you look and you say, hey, this really is home. This really is home. Because look, let me say this in a few minutes, I hope. When you belong to a family and you love your family, and in time members go out in different places and you lose family contact with them. But you were at first a beautiful and loving family. And you recall the early days, you know, in your soul. Hey, oh, yes, we were once a beautiful family. And Allah tells us in the Holy Book, you were once one community. But you dispersed and you became separated because of differences. And but you were once one to me. And then we come back and we see that the relatives say, hey, are these my relatives? They all come back in one place there. He said, oh boy, I got that home feeling again. Yeah, because what makes the home feeling is not the walls of the house. It's not the physical walls of the house. It's the members of the family. And when you have good relationship with those members and they all come back, and those that have been away so long, they all get back and you're all happy with each other. Oh boy, that is really a great home feeling. Well, that's the home feeling that Allah gives us when we accept the international family. And we cannot stay, I repeat, we cannot stay on the basis of our unity if we are going to insist upon writing some races or some ethnic groups, some nationalities off that can't be accepted. No way it can be accepted. Now, some of you might say, well, Imam, just his father taught us to separate from that white man, and his son, he just gone to the other extreme. He always want to remind us that we can't look at the white man as the devil anymore. No, you're wrong this time. I didn't have that on my mind at all. I have on my mind the way some of you treat immigrant Muslims. You look for an excuse to write them off. And that's ugly. That is real ugly. We are no better than the other weaklings in our African-American group here in America that ain't strong enough to meet the challenge of living in America. So they hate every newcomer that come in and show them up on the block. Somebody come in and run the store successfully. Somebody come in and do something and progress in the same physical environment that you couldn't progress in, then you hate them simply because they're showing up your bad record. And that same thing is motivating some of us to say, well, don't trust those old apps. Look, we have to be the mirror for our brother. Isn't that what our prophet said? The Muslim is the mirror, he is the mirror for his brother. All right. So if that Arab is that bad, try to reach him and remind him of his Muslim life. Go and try to help him. The prophet said, if you see your brother doing wrong, help him. And it was asked, well, how do we help someone that's doing wrong, messenger of God? How do we help someone that's doing wrong? He said, help them by holding them back from wrong. We are supposed to be brothers by each other. You see? And it has nothing to do with the color of our skin. For we are told plainly by Allah in the Quran, Allah looks not to our faces, but to our hearts. And the Prophet told us, there is no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab. Or black over white. Or white over black, or black over white. He used it both ways. And I see quotes now for the West, for America, they just give part of it. The prophet said there's no superiority of a white over a black. Well, I guess they say, well, it's meaningless to tell the people that there's no superiority of a black over a white. No, it's not meaningless, because there are some of us with our small resources that are thinking ourselves to be superior over whites. And you can claim superiority whether you have it or not. The first people that established white supremacy, they were inferiors to even their slaves. Certainly they were. The rejects from Europe prisons that got land in the South because it was open to them. And then got us as slaves. And their behavior and civilization was more absent in them than it was in many of their slaves. But they had white supremacy. So who knows? Maybe a group of you thugs can get together and you have a little black supremacy. And your subjects will be superior to you, but you will have your black supremacy. So we should report all of it. We should tell it all. Put it the way the prophet said it. Yes. Praise be to Allah. We hope that we have helped clear the air, remove the confusion from how we should perceive basis for our unity. We hope that this has been a helpful khutbah, a helpful lecture on how we should perceive or how we should view the basis for our unity. We ask Allah forgiveness for our sins and our faults and our mistakes. We pray that He guide us always to the guidance. Forgive us and have mercy on us and unite us as Muslims, living up to the best standards for Muslims. And that we obey Allah and obey His messenger, and that we strengthen our bonds by improving the content of our Muslim life, by living more up to the real content of Muslim life. Because that's what's hurting our unity now. It's the false life we live. So if we strengthen the content of our Muslim life, the unity of Muslims will definitely improve. We'll have greater unity and better unity. Allah is not going to unite us upon corrupt basis. He will only unite us upon the true basis for Muslims. So let us accept that, and we pray prayers and blessings on our Prophet. Ameen. Rahim. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I witness that there is but one God, Allah, and that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Pray peace and blessings be upon him. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. Our Lord, forgive us our sins, or blot out from us our sins or our iniquities. And iniquities, and take us to thyself into the company of the righteous. Into the company of the righteous. Dear believers, that is the prayer of the best of the people. That is the prayer of the best of the believers. To always realize that we are not perfect, that we are subject to error, we are subject to do wrong, subject to commit sin. But at the same time, we have faith in our Lord that He has all power to forgive our sins. And we turn to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. And we should have a desire always to be identified with the righteous and not with the wicked people of the world. Our prayer should be that Allah enter us in among the righteous people, that He count us with the righteous people. So believe me, dear people, this religion is perfect. Nothing can be improved upon it. Take it from Quran and from the life of the Prophet as it has been established and given, and you will be successful. You will be successful all the way around. You'll be successful internally. You'll be successful outwardly. You'll be successful with yourself, with your family, with your associates. You'll be successful with your endeavors. You'll be successful with everything. You may say, well, that's not so. He's promising too much. No, I'm not. I, even myself, and I don't consider myself to be no special person. I don't deserve any great page in the books that will be written in the future, you know. Not in my own opinion. If I do, it's because of favorable circumstances for me. It's because of opportunities that I have had that others haven't had. You see, I don't see no great place for me in the pages of history that would be written. No, I see an ordinary page. An ordinary page. Yes, but me, this is ordinary me. I look back at my effort to please Allah 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years back, 30 years back, 40, 50. I'm going back 40 and 50 years. And I have been successful. I bought a car and it finally broke down. I had to get another one. That doesn't mean I wasn't successful. I got some other things too and they finally broke down and I had to get some other ones, but that doesn't mean I wasn't successful. You're unsuccessful when you stop getting them. Praise be to Allah. You know, when you feel this, you just want everybody. You want everybody that you like to have it. And I'm telling you, a believer, he loves believers. The believer loves believers. Oh, yes. And that's not my teaching. That's the teaching of the prophets, especially our prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. The best of the believers is the prophet himself. And Allah requires of us that we love him more than we love ourselves and our near relatives. Yes, Allah requires that of us. And when we understand it, oh, it's so beautiful. Certainly. Look how many of us send our best-looking sons, best sons, to war for the government. Now, doesn't that mean that you have to love your nation more than you love your own child? But when we tell you ought to love Muhammad, Muhammad is better than all the nations combined. He is the cause for the nations having life. If you understand. He's the cause for the nations of today having the real life. Those that have it. And in the degree that they have it. Not that they have it in full degree. But they wouldn't be surviving and progressing if they didn't have a portion of it. Yes. Believe me. Well, dear Muslims, with these points and emphasis, I conclude the khutbah, and we pray that Allah bless our gathering here today, and the intent, and all of our efforts for the 3 days that we'll be here, and after. And we pray that He will save us from hardship, difficulty, misery, and bad spirits. Especially bad spirits. We know how easy it is in America to give somebody bad spirits. So let us remember the prophet's teaching to us that the believers are as soft as milk in their dealing with believers. Yes, we're not supposed to be harsh and ugly and hostile toward believers. Let us practice love, the love of the ummah, and the love of each other. And let that spirit dominate in us. And don't take out our hostilities and bad feelings that we brought with us from another situation on somebody we find here that looks like a sheep. Well, I look like a sheep a lot of time, but you take your hostilities out on me, you might see something else pop up out of there. And when I want to straighten things out, I'm telling you, I just can't stop until I break things up. If they won't straighten out, I'll be done broken up. If it won't get straight, I'm going to break it. I done got a little old now, you know, so I can have more patience. A little age and a little weakness in the back make me have much more patience now. So I can take a lot of abuse. But I have a breaking point. And when I reach that breaking point, look out. Because if you ain't ready, you are out. And even if you're ready, you might be out. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, it seemed like this good luck is always with the innocent, with the justified, you know, against the guilty, you know. He pull out a stick and he swings the stick and miss, and you trying to hit him with your right hand and the right hand wasn't in place, you hit him with the left and knock him out cold. And then you look at him there and you wonder, how that happened? Gee, the Lord was on your side. Yes. Now, we don't want that. We want good treatment by each other. We want us to live up to the best Muslim behavior. And understand this in my concluding here, that Muslims, we think of behavior as moral behavior. But more important for Muslims is to think of behavior as intelligent behavior. Intelligent behavior. Because moral behavior graduates, doesn't it? You know, when you just know good and bad, beautiful and ugly, hot and cold, you know, that's kind of on the baby level of morality. But as we graduate, we come up into what we call ethics, moral rules for the intellect, moral rules for the total behavior. For the general and total behavior, moral rules. So we graduate from moral sentiment and moral feelings to an understanding of the moral logic. The moral logic. So understand that Muslims are to try to present the most intelligent behavior at all times. Thank you very much. And we pray, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد